Book of James, chapter 1 tonight. And I'd invite you to draw your attention there to verses 4 and 5 tonight. James chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "But let patience have her perfect way, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." The book of James has rightfully been referred to and called the Proverbs of the New Testament. If you know anything about Proverbs, Proverbs' purpose is to help people and to help specifically Christians to increase in knowledge, to increase in wisdom, and the same could be said here of the book of James. And you know, it's been said, not everybody who grows old necessarily grows up. There's a vast difference, as we'll see throughout the scriptures tonight, between age and maturity. Ideally, we think that the older we are, then the more mature we should be. But often, too often, the idea does not become the reality. I say that as someone who, at heart, I'm still a big kid. I say that as somebody who still loves to laugh and still likes to have fun, and I still have hobbies and likes and all the rest. But oftentimes, as we grow older, if we don't allow ourselves to also mature as we grow older, then the result with that becomes problems. And you have problems in your personal life, you have problems in the home, you have problems in the churches, you have problems in families, you have problems in the world, problems in the country. There just becomes a lot of problems as a result of the idea not matching the reality. And problems in these areas are often caused, unfortunately, by immaturity more than anything else. And, you know, oftentimes I believe, and it's been said, that if Christians would just grow up, then as Christians we would oftentimes become victors more than we would become victims. And here tonight in the book of James, we find that James was written to help us understand and attain spiritual maturity. Notice there again, if you would, verse number 4 and the last part of verse number 4. The Bible there says that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. J.B. Phillips once said this, "Any you find, you have become men of mature character, men of integrity, with no weak spots." We think tonight here about the book of James, and we see tonight just exactly who James wrote this epistle to. Notice there, if you would, verse number 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible here says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." And so we see here that James wrote to Jews who were living outside of the land. The term there, the 12 tribes, most probably refers to the people of Israel or the Jewish nation. And since the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, we find that many of the Jews, they were scattered throughout different nations. Not only that, we see James wrote his letter to Christian Jews. You notice there in verse number 2, James says here, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." And so we see here, James, he's writing this letter, this epistle to Christian Jews, to Jews who are believers, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at least 19 times here in the book of James, he addresses them as brethren. That these were brethren in the Lord and not just brethren in the flesh. Look there, if you would, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And notice there, verse number 1. James chapter 2 and verse 1. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." And so we see here, he writes this letter to the to these 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. And it's likely that many of these Christian Jews, they were very poor and they were very oppressed. And being Jews, they would have most likely than not, they would have been rejected by the Gentiles. And being Christian Jews, they would have been even rejected by many of their own countrymen. And so no matter which side of the fence they looked on, they were looking at rejection, whether it was from Gentiles or whether it's from their own people. Because of their belief in Christ, they faced rejection. And this letter here to that James writes indicates that most of these believers, that they were poor and that some were being oppressed. Look there, if you would, James chapter 2. And specifically there, verses 6 and 7. Or let's begin at verse number 5. The Bible there says in chapter 2, verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren." There it is again. He refers to them as brethren. "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world," and notice this phrase, "rich in faith?" I want to encourage you tonight, even if you don't have a lot, materialistically speaking, even if you don't have all the trappings of what the world offers, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then you are rich in faith. That's what these Jewish believers had. They were rich in faith tonight because of their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" And so we see here they were poor, they were oppressed. And so we see this is who James is writing to. But then the question becomes, well, why did James write this letter? What was the purpose of him writing this letter? Well, the letter suggests, again, that people were having problems in their personal lives and in the church. As we look throughout the book of James tonight, we find that they were going through difficult trials. They were facing temptations to sin. They were hearers of the word, but not necessarily doers of the word. Some were catering to other people, while others were being oppressed by those same people. Some were competing for positions within the church instead of just seeking to serve wherever they could. They were politicizing the positions in the church. They had improper use of the tongue. That was a problem. They had problems with worldliness. And then at the end of the day, some were just plain old straying from the faith. Some were just getting away from God and away from Christ altogether. And so they were just straying from the faith altogether. You know, so this is why James was writing this letter. And the truth of the matter is tonight that these problems that James is dealing with, and this is the encouragement for us tonight, is that they are not much different from those often besetting congregations today. Because a lot of these things that the people of James's day was going through, a lot of these things churches and people today and Christians today go through. Listen, I'm sure if we were to take the time tonight, we could go around this room and yes, we could speak of the goodness of God tonight, but I'm sure we could also speak of some trials either we've been through or that we're going through. No doubt we can testify to the fact that, yes, even though we're saved and even though we're Christians, we're still sinners, sinners saved by grace, but we still face temptations to sin, do we not, tonight? How often do we, and I include myself in these things, how often do we come and we put ourselves under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and yes, we're hearers of the Word, but how much do we actually do as well? We are guilty of being hearers and not necessarily doers of the Word. Sometimes we compete for positions in the church, or we, you know, cater to certain people while being oppressed by others or ignoring others or oppressing others. Oh, sometimes, you know, we talked about it a little bit this morning. Sometimes we have problems with the tongue, don't we? Sometimes we let our tongue get us into trouble. You know, sometimes I say, you know, you open mouth, insert foot. How many can say we're guilty of that tonight? Sometimes, you know, sometimes the words just spew out before it even reaches our brain. And then, you know, again, we have to use that, you know, that imaginary fishing reel and try and pull it back in. But you know what? Too late. It's already gone. And, you know, we have that battle with the tongue, and it's exactly what it is. It's a battle with the tongue tonight. And then, you know, there are some that, you know, stray from the faith. You know, you wouldn't believe how many times that when I'm out and about and I'm making visits or just out in the community and, you know, I introduce myself or I say, yeah, I'm the pastor over at so-and-so at First Baptist Church. And they say, oh, I used to go there, or I was married there, or I was, you know, baptized there. And inevitably I ask, well, why aren't you still there? You know, there's still room for you. There's still a place for you. Because they've strayed from the faith. But you see, all of these problems, they're faced even by churches and congregations and people today. Are there not in churches today people who are suffering for one reason or another? Are there not members who talk one way but walk another? Is not worldliness a serious problem? Are there not Christians who cannot control their tongue? And so again, it appears that James is dealing, yes, even though this was written thousands of years ago, man, he's dealing with some very up-to-date problems. He's dealing with some very up-to-date topics. You know, it's often been said that you open the Bible and you open the Word of God, and it's often more up to date than that day's newspaper. And the truth of the matter is, it's just that. Because it has the answers for every aspect of our life. But you see, tonight, James was not discussing an array of unrelated problems. All of these problems that James was addressing and dealing with, they all had one common cause, and that was spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. You see, these Christians were in need of growing up, so to speak. Look again here, if you would, at some of the problems James is dealing with. And you can see that each one of them is a characteristic of little children. You're there, James chapter 1. Notice, number one, they had impatience and difficulties. They had impatience and difficulties. Notice there, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says there, James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect way, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so again, we see it, and again, we can relate to this, because when difficulties come in our life, we want the difficulties to go away as soon as possible. But here James is saying, count it all joy when ye fall into temptations. Let your faith work patience, and let patience have her perfect way. But we see they had impatience in difficulties. Look there, if you would, chapter 2. They would talk much about the truth, but they would not live the truth. They talked much about the truth, but they would not live the truth. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? James is saying here, listen, you can talk about all the truth you want to, but at some point you have to start living the truth. You have to go from just being a hearer of the word and being a doer of the word. But then not only that, look there if you would, chapter 3. We see that they had a lack of control over the tongue. James chapter 3, and notice there verse number 1. The Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse number 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. One of the smallest members. I once heard a message, the most dangerous member in all the church. And the most dangerous member is not any one person in particular. The most dangerous member is this tongue right here. Because we have trouble oftentimes controlling the tongue. But not only that, there was, look there if you would, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, they had fighting and coveting there within the where they were. James chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that was in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Oh, they thought they had to do everything within their power in order to receive something from God, when in reality, all they had to do was ask of God and receive it. And then finally, look there, James chapter 5. We see there that they also had the problem of collecting those things which were materialistic. Collecting those things which were materialistic. James chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eating. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And just on and on it goes about how they were busy with the materialistic and they neglected the spiritual. These things this evening, it gives us a very strong hint of the basic theme of this letter of James, and that is marks of maturity in the Christian life. Again, as you read throughout the book of James, you find here that James uses that word perfect several times. A word that means mature. It means complete. Look there, if you would, James chapter 3 and verse number 2. James chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, therefore, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, look at what it says, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And so here, by the expression, James is saying, a perfect man. He says here, James was not saying, well, you're going to be a sinless man or a sinless woman. No, but you can sin less. But rather, he was saying, one who is mature and balanced and one who is grown up in the faith. And so James here, he writes to fulfill a great need, that of spiritual maturity. No doubt today in our day and age, spiritual maturity is one of the greatest need in our churches today. God is looking for mature men. He's looking for mature women to carry on His work. And sometimes all He can find are little children who cannot even get along with each other, let alone carry on the work. One person once said here about the text of James, they said, too many churches are playpens for babies instead of workshops for adults. Yes, here tonight, James, yes, he wrote this to meet a need. And yes, it was written 2,000 plus years ago. But this letter is as relevant today as it was those thousands of years ago when James first wrote it. Over the next several weeks, we're going to see several truths and principles from the book of James on Sunday nights. And as we do, remember tonight, not everyone who grows old grows up. There is often a vast difference between age and maturity. You see, tonight, just because a Christian has been saved 10, 20, or 60 years, it does not guarantee that he or she is mature in the Lord. But I guarantee you this tonight, if you seek to be a mature Christian, here's what you'll be. You'll be a happy Christian, despite the trials that you face. If you're a mature Christian tonight, you'll be a useful Christian. You'll be able to overcome those temptations that cross your path. And if you seek to be a mature Christian tonight, then you'll be a Christian who then along the way can help others and encourage others to not only build themselves spiritually and in the Lord, but build their local church as well. And so over the next few weeks, may with God's help, we seek to grow together and mature together. Again, there, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5 in closing. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Tonight, you want to be a mature Christian. You want that wisdom and that knowledge and that growth in Christ. And all you have to do is ask of it of God. And we have a promise from His Word that He will give it to those who ask. And the Bible says there, He'll give it liberally. He'll give it freely. It can be yours. It can be mine. If all we will do is ask for it. Let's pray.